Public News Service Tuesday Afternoon Update. I'm Mike Clifford. California state lawmakers are considering a bill that would require two public pension systems to pull about $15 billion in combined investments from the fossil fuel industry by the year 2031.
Senate Bill 252 would affect the California Public Employee Retirement System, called CalPERS, and the California State Teachers Retirement System, or CalSTRS. State Senator Lena Gonzalez represents Long Beach and says divestment is a moral imperative.
We cannot leave our kids with climate risk. And I see the impacts every day. I see the pollution in my neighborhood, the asthma and respiratory illnesses, all of it.
CalPERS governing board opposes the measure, arguing their first responsibility is to maximize returns and that the companies would find other, less socially conscious investors. I'm Suzanne Potter.
Meantime, anti-hunger groups in California are asking Governor Gavin Newsom to preserve funding for Market Watch. It's a program that helps low-income families buy fruits and vegetables at farmers markets. Lawmakers are expected to include $35 million for the program when they pass a budget this weekend. Minnie Foreman with the Ecology Center hopes the governor will decide to leave it be.
He could, in the final hour, strip it out, and all of our hard work and all the hard work of all of the elected officials and advocates would be lost.
And just in, a federal jury has convicted Hunter Biden on all three federal felony gun charges he faced, concluding that he violated laws meant to prevent drug addicts from owning firearms. That from CNN. They report the conviction marks the first time a president's immediate family member has been found guilty of a crime during their father's term in office. Next, Alabama, where groups are empowering residents to influence community policies with a new training program. More on that from Santia Hudson.
Alabama Arise and Alabama Values are launching Think Big Alabama to equip people with tools to foster change in their communities. Anisha Hardy is the executive director of Alabama Values, a nonprofit focused on messaging and increasing community engagement. She highlights the four-part program as a way to break down informational barriers in the legislative process and amplify underrepresented voices.
This is about giving folks tools to use that operates at the intersection of messaging and narrative, taking back control of their narrative, also advocating and organizing in communities and using the systems that we have in place during the legislative process to be a part of the change that they want to see.
Key skills that will be taught during the training include advocating through media, policy, grassroots organizing, and community engagement.
Advocates say the program's open to anyone who wants to learn more about policy advocacy or be a change maker in their community. This is Public News Service. Teens and young adults in Texas who have disabilities have an opportunity to get a paid internship this summer.
The Texas Workforce Commission Summer Earn and Learn, or SEAL, program works with students between the ages of 14 and 22. The students are placed with large and small businesses to earn a paycheck and learn valuable work experience. Texas Workforce Commissioner Joe Esparza says all 28 workforce development boards across the state participate in recruiting students and employers.
The employers are obviously benefiting because they're investing in their communities and they get somebody who's motivated to work. So I think having that opportunity gives these students a chance to interact with customers, to learn IT systems, to just engage in something that they're very interested in.
He says more than 14,000 students have been placed in internships since the program started in 2017. Students and employers interested in participating should contact their local Texas Workforce Solutions office. I'm Frieda Ross reporting.
Now more from the Kids Count report that finds the pandemic's aftermath dragged down Connecticut's kids' well-being.
The state ranks 8th in the Annie E. Casey Kids Count data book, up from 9th last year. While the state advanced kids' economic well-being, progress stagnated in education. 4th graders not proficient in reading and 8th graders not proficient in math grew exponentially. Emily Byrne with Connecticut Voices for Children says the report's recommendations can improve children's academic performance.
Ensuring access to low or no-cost school meals, reliable internet connections, and a place to study and time to be with friends, teachers, and counselors. Another recommendation is around expanding access to intensive tutoring for students who are behind in their classes.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
Finally, our Eric Gladys lets us know to reach 100% clean energy by 2040, a move seen as critical for averting the worst impacts of climate change, Colorado must generate 5 times more solar power and triple its wind capacity.
To address the scale of these challenges, state lawmakers recently passed Senate Bill 24212. Chris Mangus with the Nature Conservancy in Colorado says the new law will give tribal and municipal governments the resources they need to site new clean energy projects and power lines to get that electricity to homes and businesses.
This is a great step towards a clean energy future in Colorado that's responsive to community needs and conservation priorities while we build the infrastructure that is necessary to meet the state's clean energy goals.
SB 24212 aims to put Colorado communities in control of decisions that will impact local residents, including wildlife and surrounding landscapes.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Hear us on great radio stations on your favorite podcast platform and find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.